past lessons, we've been talking about God's will for you, and kind of going along with that theme, and kind of what I did, and just to give you a cheat sheet, is I kind of looked up that phrase. So I found all the verses that kind of dealt with that phrase, and that's kind of where we were going. So in week one, we went to 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 16, where it says, "Rejoice always." Then later on in that couple verses, it says, "Because this is the will of God. It's God's will that we rejoice." And then verse 17 was, "Pray without ceasing." It's God's will that we pray, that we talk to God. And then in everything, give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, that's God's will that we are thankful. And then last week we talked about doing good from 1 Peter 2:11 through 15, about it's God's will that we do good works. We're not saved by doing good works, but we do good works because we're saved, that type of thing. So kind of keeping along with that same theme of God's will, and I got to thank Darrell for this because he kind of led me there when he mentioned Romans chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Remember that, Darrell? You said something about Romans 12. And this was like one of those first verses or first passages that I tried to memorize when I first became a Christian. But chapter 12, look at verses 1 and 2. Yes, sir.
Looking at this at home, I discovered that God's will for us is in Christ.
Right.
And His love for us also is in Christ, Romans 8.
Yep. Well,
I find that very interesting.
Right. And we're kind of going to touch on that because we're going to get into by the mercies of God and what's God's mercy and that type of thing. But Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, well, kind of to set this up, what was chapter 11? Kind of what is not necessarily the theme because it deals with some other things, but it kind of deals with grace and faith and mercy. And maybe that's why he goes into chapter 12 and says, "I beseech you therefore," "brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable or spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's that phrase, will of God. And that's kind of what we're kind of led me into that passage. What's God's will for us? Well, we've been talking those first 4 weeks kind of specifically about what God expected out of us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to give thanks. He wants us to do good. So looking at Romans chapter 12, there's two phrases that kind of jump out at you. And to me, it's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. And the first one being is not conformed. The second word is being transformed. That's God's will for us, that we not conform, and that we transform. And then as Sam mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit about how we get to that point and why we get to that point. So, someone give me a definition of conforming. Doing what everybody else is doing.
Work.
You have to conform
to
the rules.
Standards.
That's right, the standards. I do too.
You have to adapt.
You have to adapt, okay? Be similar in form or type. That was one of the definitions I came up with or came across. To conform to another's pattern. But when we think of conform, I think what was said earlier, just to do what everybody else is doing. That sound okay? Especially in the context where we're talking here, of not being conformed to the world. We're not supposed to be following the world. We're not to conform to the world. And I found this definition. It said, a conformist is often afraid to be different, who feels the need to be like everyone else. We all want to get along, but we always can't go along just to get along. Agree? Okay, so a good definition is to be similar and to do things the way everyone else does. And like Steve says, I have to conform to my rules at work, which are steel-toed shoes and safety glasses and a uniform and a paint suit over the uniform and all that garb. I just have to do it. So I have to conform to those rules. So how do we conform? Okay.
And I think Colossians 2, a few verses before 12 and a few verses after 14, really encourages us not to do the things of the world.
Right.
You got some this in there.
And that's what Paul is trying to convey to us as simple as he can. He says, don't conform to the world. When we conform to the world, we do what others do. We imitate what other people wear, how they dress, that type of thing. Daryl? Yeah, we're going to get there. Don't get way ahead of me. That's the best example. But I wrote down something here, and trust me, I raised three daughters, so I am not a chauvinist, whatever. But, because I wrote this one word, mall. I hate the mall. But, I have been to the mall. I go to the mall. Did you ever notice when you walk into a store, and I'm not picking on the women, I'm picking on advertisers, that three-fourths of the store is geared towards women. You ever notice that? The men's will be in the back, in a little corner, that type of thing. Unless you go to Cabela's, and then it's the complete opposite, I guess. But I think advertisers, and I'm not saying women conform to the world. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's where the market is. Because I don't care if I've got a 10-year-old pair of jeans. That's fine. And these shoes that probably have a hole in them, that's fine with me. But my daughters and my wife, they all like to dress nice. And not that they're conforming, but I think advertisers really hit hard on women, especially in the mall. So I put down mall. And most often it occurs with kids. And you see kids that give in to peer pressure and things like that. Everyone wants to be, you want to be stand out in the crowd. You want to kind of go along with the crowd. And there's nothing wrong with being part of the crowd as long as the crowd is the right type of influence. Okay? So how do we conform? Usually by doing what others do and wearing what other people want to wear. And it's usually encouraged by, I think, advertising. Type of thing. So, speaking of conforming to the world, and we're not to conform to the world, what are the dangers when you conform to the world? Someone turn to Matthew chapter 7. This is nothing new. The things we're talking about tonight and peer pressure and wanting to be like the crowd is nothing new. Look at Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Someone read that.
The way which leads to life, and there are few by the
way. I mean, Jesus gave us a warning about this a long time ago. You know, the majority, it was mentioned several weeks ago, majority of the people don't necessarily want to do what's right. We're a minority. We're a small minority who are trying to conform to God's plan and not conform to the world. Daryl, did you have something? confusing reason. Okay. So the dangers are that the path to destruction is wide, and the way of life is straight and narrow. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil communications or evil companionships corrupt good manners or morals. Be careful who we hang around, that type of thing. We always say that about our kids, and it's true. And we try to find good friends for them to hang around with. I think it's important that we kind of guide them that way. Even though they may choose another path, it's our responsibility as parents to try to guide them, but we also have to be concerned about ourselves. What about the office party? That type of thing we probably should stay away from. Movies that we shouldn't go see, that maybe the whole crowd of friends are going. We can't conform to their lifestyle. We should try to influence them to conform to the lifestyle that God wants. All right.
Around them to influence them for Christ.
Right. Right. Who's the bigger influence? We need to be the bigger influence.
Right.
Yeah. Daryl, since you brought up 1 John 2:15, let's go there. 1 John 2:15-17. And read 16 also.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Is of the world. Okay, what I wrote down here was the lust of the flesh, immorality. The lust of the light, of lust of the eyes, materialism, wanting those things that we shouldn't be, coveting those things that, that we don't need, but we really want, that type of thing. And yielding to the pride of life, arrogance, being prideful, that type of thing. So conforming to these things will do what? It'll separate us from God. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And you will never... as in Romans 12, it says, you will never prove God's will trying to be like those in the world. It's the very opposite of what God's will is for us. So the two words we were going to look at was to not conform and then to transform. Remember the verse we read from Romans 12? And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. What does it mean to transform? What's the Greek word for transform?
Adapt to.
What's that?
Would it be adapt to?
Metamorphize.
Yeah,
metamorphosis. Like from the illustration I saw was from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Metamorphosis. That to transform, to change. To change into another form. You're right on it, Sam. To change into another form was the definition that I saw. It's used to change the form from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And the idea behind that is that a Christian needs to undergo a complete change. And I couldn't help but think of Romans chapter 6, which I think, Sam, you might have alluded to earlier, which talks about, let's turn there, Romans chapter 6. We stress the point, which it is, this is the death, burial, and resurrection for someone to become a Christian. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how wish you did to sin live any longer. Look at verse 4, starting in verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We emphasize, and rightly so, that baptism is a death, and a burial, and a resurrection. You're raised to walk in newness of life. But maybe sometimes we don't stress enough that you're a new creature. One of the things that hindered me, I think I've gotten better at it, was my past life and things I've done before I became a Christian. And I remember talking with my father-in-law one time, and I said, you know, the people I went to high school with wouldn't necessarily recognize me any longer. First of all, I've gotten fatter and lost hair. But I don't think the life that I'm trying to lead now, it doesn't compare to that. And he would say, well, you're a new person. You're not that person that you were then. And sometimes I had a hard time letting go of that because, you know, you're kind of ashamed. You did some things you shouldn't have done. Maybe hung around with some people you shouldn't have hung around with. And you're a little bit ashamed of that. But I'm not that person anymore. And we've got to remember that we're a new creature. We've transformed that way. Let's see. Yes.
Pardon me. In Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration, that the word you pronounce, metamorpho, that word is used to describe what happened to Jesus when, you know, his face turned white. Yeah. So it's a powerful word, and so it's the same word on that transfiguration scene, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And I think maybe Sam was talking about this also. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And to be in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. So if I'm in Christ, I'm a new, you know, I'm a new creature. And all those old things are washed away, that type of thing. So why is it important that we transform? You know, it's God's will that we don't conform, and it's God's will that we transform. And we understand that there's a change of our behavior, a change of our attitude, a change of our countenance. Everything should change about us. But why is it important? Adam? Right. Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, people who knew you before, they probably wouldn't even recognize you. Just because, not necessarily your appearance, as I was talking about, but your attitude and the spirit, you know, that you have. We transform to be more like Christ. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, and the purpose of being a disciple is to be like the teacher. And our goal is a goal of Christian living. So we want to be like Christ. We want to live like Christ. And Paul was talking about in Romans there, a living sacrifice. And we want to offer our bodies that way, as a living sacrifice. Sam?
Well, I was thinking about the idea that we have to go through the transformation process in baptism so we can be put into Christ, so we can gain access to the spiritual blessings in Him. If we are not transformed, then we have no access to the spiritual blessings in Christ that the Lord gives us, Ephesians 1:3 and following, and Galatians 3:27. But we are baptized, we are put into him, we put him on.
Aye.
And the same thing in Colossians 2:12. We are buried with him and we are raised with him to walk in newness of life.
And
that's the transformation.
Yep.
So if we don't participate in what he did, then we cannot be in him to receive the spiritual blessings. That we said earlier, giving all the spiritual blessings, God's will. But his will for us to receive those blessings is in Christ.
Back in Romans chapter 12, when Paul starts out there, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? You know, we talked about the love of Christ. Be one of them. Freedom from sin. Eternal life. Heaven. That's a mercy. Patience. We're saved from God's wrath. We don't have to deal with that. Peace. Patience was a good one. So the mercies of God is a motivation for our transformation. We want all these blessings. We want these mercies. We need to transform. It says, by the renewing of your mind, can there be a transformation without renewing our mind? Changing our thought process, changing our attitude. One of the commentaries I read said, unless there is a renewing of the mind, any change in our lives will be superficial. We just did it for show. And that we should set our minds on things above. So how do we renew our mind? By putting off that old man of sin, putting on the new man, Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things above. Meditate. Think about God's Word. Study God's Word. Keep your mind in communication with God through prayer. Talking to God. Dustin's lesson this Sunday. And be involved in worship. Be at worship. So Christians are to undergo a complete change. A metamorphosis. A transformation. Now, do we do that on our own? How do we do that? How do we change? We've talked about the need to change. It's God's will that we transform. So how do we do that?
Study and apply.
Study and apply.
Prayer.
Encouragement. Yes. Encouragement from others. Try to transform, follow the master teacher, to be more like Christ. To set goals through prayer, through example, through good companionship, not evil companionship. Having those people surround you that are good counselors. I didn't have that. Realign the priorities. Exactly. Maybe that's why Paul says to be transformed. You're not, I don't think it's automatically, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm transformed. It's a process.
It's an indication of something that's fixed. Our minds do wonderful temporal things, but our mind and our heart and our life is focused and set.
But I think our whole society has it misguided, that type of thing. everything's geared towards right now, my reward right now, my benefits right now. I mean, give it to me now, our reward will be in heaven. Adam, you have something?
I think a lot of times in this world, at least for me, in Romans 12, verse 19, we want stuff to happen right now. You know, we're talking about, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place for the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will pray, I will repay, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Somebody does it wrong, we won't do them wrong, but it's hard to kind of let that go.
Turn the other cheek.
I think 2 John 1:6 correlates pretty good here. I think that says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. We walk after the pattern that we have through the New Testament. Then we start seeing the type of person we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Then you start seeing Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the Spirit, which is a great place for the mind to sit. Because in those two verses are the concepts of purity and perfectness that, you know, we as Christians should try to strive after.
Yeah. Let's see. It begins with being, the transformation begins at baptism, being in Christ, which requires baptism. And we put on Christ, Galatians 3. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. So we need to study and contemplate on God and his word. Regular prayer with God and involving the spiritual worship and assembling with others. So, Romans 12 says to prove God's word. In other words, some other translations say discern. Can't think of the word. To discern or to prove or to request or require to show God's word. So if we're going to prove God's will, it does not come from conforming to the world, but conforming to God's word. Let God's word lead us in everything that we do. Letting the world determine our standard speech and conduct will only separate us from God. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are not become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth meat, milk is unworthy in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. With God's help, we need to set, our mind can discern what is good and evil. And that's by studying his word. Anything else? I didn't want to go any further than those two words. I thought that was two. That one and two would take us the whole lesson. That not to conform, but to be transformed. Any thoughts?
It's hard to survive with not conforming. How would you survive by not conforming? We had to drive cars.
Oh yeah, it's not. It's not. I mean, maybe we should have. Right. Right.
How are we going to teach anybody if we don't get out there and conform?
Yeah, I think it's talking about conforming to the world in ways that are contrary to God.
Just like when it says don't love the world, it's not talking
right.
about a pretty lake or
right.
sunset.
Yeah.
The bad things,
yeah.
you know, don't love the bad things.
Those
don't,
things that can separate us from God. Maybe I should have done a better job.
Don't conform to the bad things.
Yeah. There's enough out there that will separate us from God. There's a lot out there that can be, there's a lot there that can be used for good that people use for evil. the internet can be a good thing, but to me, 8 times out of 10, 80% of the time, it's used for evil. It could be a good tool, but most of the times it's used for evil. Things we use, you know, in here with microphones and all, it's a good thing. We can use it for good, but some people could use different things like that for evil. That's a good point. You know, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be of this world.
But when we experience bad circumstances, we need to overcome the bad circumstances, you know, with good.
Right.
And that's what the Lord is talking about at the last part of Hebrews 12. Because good is always stronger than bad and evil. And if we do good in areas where we experience evil, then that's part of letting your light shine,
yeah,
to draw people to Christ. Why is he doing good and everything around him is bad?
Right.
You know, people might get curious and you're going to try to inquire. And that's a good way to bring people to Christ.
Yeah. Errol?
Steve's got a good point. I mean, we're going to be in the world. You know, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 5. The big issue is when we're in the world, if the world is looking at us at what we're doing is with what's being done, that's where we have a problem.
Yeah.
That's where we have a problem. That's where Ephesians 5:11 comes in. If it looks like we're partaking of the bad product, whether
right,
it's fornication, stealing, you know, lying, dirty joke, whatever it is. Okay, if we're participating with it, we got a problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got to let our light shine. Your light can't shine, just like the Bible talks about, under a bushel. It's got to be out. We've got to be out. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 5. We're out in the world. We're to be an example to others. When I call on accounts and I have to go to accounts, some are worse than others. Some of them I have to have all the verses read so I can properly try to help them and deal with their sickness.
Yeah.
You know, try to help them. But I have to be on the defense. But at the same rate, when I go to fellowship with my members here, like what we did, Wesley and I and Nathan and a few others, it's the most peaceful thing in the world.
Right.
Why? Because you don't have to have a defense set up. You can relax. Because you're walking in the light, you're with other saints that are living a Christian life. Beautiful.
It's like there's a difference of being in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And letting the world be in you.
Absolutely.
That's the answer.
Nah, I'm good. I was going to say, it's kind of a different direction. But Romans 12, too, kind of reads a little bit like a dare. You know, don't be like the world. Be like the way God wants you to be. And prove, you know, you spotlighted that word. Another synonym for it is test.
Yeah.
So, you know, what Paul's setting up here is God has a will for your life and try it out, you know. And a lot of people never get around to trying out what God wants for their life.
Yeah.
Right? They're chasing all the other ideas and philosophies and opinions, and they never test out what God wants for them. And Paul's saying, put it to the test and see, you know, see how the results are. And we think you'll be happy with it, you know.
When I look at it, there's a purpose behind telling us to be transformed and not conformed. And it's not just that you'll have blessings through a transformed life, because we know that a conformed life, you know, there's sin and there's harm in sin. The ultimate purpose for us is the same purpose that Christ had, to seek and to save that which was lost. If we're conformed to this world, we don't have the mind that Christ has. If we're conformed, we're selfish. We're fearful. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be just like everybody else. We want the same things they have. We want the same comforts.
We want the friendships. We want the relationships that they have on their terms. When we're transformed, though, we're different. We stand out. We have a mind that puts others first. And you get to verse 3, he tells them, don't think. You should have a mind that allows you to not think too highly of yourselves. If we have the mind that Christ had, we will put others first, thinking of their needs, not just their physical needs, but primarily their spiritual needs. We'll think of those first. We'll transform our lives so that we can reach them. We can show them the power that God has upon us. And we can show them the good things to come. That's why we've got to be transformed, and we need to always keep the purpose in mind that we're here to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not just a rat race of trying to accumulate check marks for I was a good boy today and get golden stars. We're here to seek and to save those that are lost, and everything we do has to be pointed towards that purpose.
There's a reason that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, wrote the... We have to understand, or I have to understand, that there's danger in conforming to the world. There would have been no reason to write this if there's not a danger there. That's why it kept coming back to me is there's a reason this is there. There's a reason this is God's will. There's a reason that I'm not to conform, and there's a reason that I'm to transform. There's danger in conforming. And I think that's what Paul, there's a great warning there. I think Brian's right. We have a mission here. There's a purpose behind all this. It's not just, let's just be different. Let's be peculiar people. Well, we don't want to be peculiar people just to be peculiar people. We want to be peculiar people for God. Someone had their hand up. Daryl. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we don't get to work with Christians every day. And unfortunately, some of the people we work with aren't even not even really good people. You know, they're not nice people. They are the complete opposite of what we want to be. So we have a great challenge. Yeah. They better. Yeah.
Lose their zeal for in church all the time. How about a person who's saved later in life? You see the zeal they have and say, oh, no.
Yeah. Very good. I think there's some kids out back. Thank y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.